Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
We're doing a kind of a tag team thing this morning, okay? So slightly different approach, but the message is walking in godly authority. And the bit that I bring is really a teaching. And the key point of it all is that our authority, the authority of a believer, comes from one place only, and that's from a position of intimacy with the King of Kings.
Amen.
He's the source of all authority. Mm. That authority is worked out, walked out, and lived out in our lives only as we are in intimate relationship with Him. Mm. I could stop there because that's the point of the whole message, but I want to just reinforce that a little bit. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we're familiar with this. Then Jesus came to them and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Mark puts it in a slightly different way. So Mark 16, 17 adds this, "And these signs will accompany those who believe." Do you believe?
Yeah.
Then this is true of you. "In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." So let me ask you the question again. Do you believe?
Come on. Amen.
Then here's the second question. How well do you feel you are exercising that authority?
Not enough.
So there is a gap. Exactly so. That's exactly right. So there is a gap between the ideal that God proclaims in His word, which is truth, we've just heard that, and our experience and our track record. There's a gap. And in all honesty, in all humility, we have to recognize that gap if that gap is ever going to close. Mm. If we don't recognize that gap can never close. You with me? So what we see in the world and all too often in the church is the abuse of authority. Mm. You don't have to think very far. Godly authority has to be restored in the church. And authority, like any of God's wonderful gifts, like sex, like freedom, like wealth, any other God-given gift, is wide open to abuse when we say, I'm having that for myself. Mm. When we apply a selfish motive to that, that is abused, and that's where authority becomes abused, where people take power to themselves and use it for their own ends. So how do we respond to the gap? We can respond with disappointment, we can respond with dismay, but that's a mistake, because God is a God of hope, and hope will not put us to shame. Mm. So our response to the gap is not to fall into that gap, but to rise up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And forgetting my track record, forgetting what is behind, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Whatever is behind is behind. It's forgotten. But we take hold and we press on. So within our hearts, there has to be a rise of faith, which doesn't look down on the gap and risk falling into it, but looks beyond that and says, that's where I am going because that's what God has called me to do. We press on. Where does God want to take us? Romans 5, 17. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus? God has called you to reign in life. Just look at your neighbor and tell them God has called you. Kai, God has called you to reign in life.
Amen.
And the Lord is not going to settle for anything less for you, Frank, than that you reign in life. So we cannot settle for less. We certainly can't settle for that gap. So what does godly authority look like? It looks like Jesus. And Jesus looks like the Father. Jesus said, "He who has seen the Father has seen me." And he said, "I and the Father are one." So let's not look at the world's abuse of authority, even though that authority is delegated by God to world leaders. They're accountable to him, and they will one day give an account. Let's not look back at problems within churches that we may have been in and think, Let's not hold back. Let's not shrink back because we see abuse. But let's look to the Lord, who is the outworking of that godly authority. And yet, you know, when Jesus came, he emptied himself of his power and his advantage. He emptied himself of all authority. And in this is enormous hope for us, because Jesus didn't rule and reign in life because he was the Son of God. He ruled and reigned in life because he was the Son of Man in right relationship to the King, which means there's hope for all of us. All right, all of us, we are on a level playing field with the Lord. And that's his heart for us. So the only authority Jesus had, the only authority he exercised, was in complete obedience to his Father in heaven. And that we can choose to do as well. I'm going to prove it to you. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, or, as it says in this version, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Two keys here to the exercising of godly authority that Jesus showed. He humbled himself. Authority requires humility.
That's right.
And he was obedient. To exercise authority, we need to be humble.
That's right.
And obedient to the Lord. Humility and obedience are keys to the believer's authority. And Jesus has shown us the way. John 5, 19 to 20. Jesus said, "Very truly," he couldn't be more emphatic, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." So there's a real key in this, and this song you played at the beginning was perfect.
Well, I think so.
There's a real key in it, and I'll come back to it, and that key is agreement with whatever God is doing.
That's right.
That's the key to our authority. So Jesus' authority came entirely from his obedience to his Father. So where does our authority come from? Exactly the same place, in exactly the same way. It's a place of intimacy with the Father. It's a place of humility obedience to the Lord. Now, I always like to look at the big picture, and I always like to ask the question, why? There's no more powerful question than the question, why? So I want to go back, because that's how God's made me, to see, okay, so Lord, why does it work like this? Why did you do things like this? What's this all about? What is it? Why, God, did you make human beings? Surely life would have been easy without us. So the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it like this: the chief end of man closet Anglicans will know where this goes. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that's based on a whole raft of scripture. Okay, so God, you made us to enjoy you. Thank you, Lord. To enjoy you and glorify you. Don't we want to do that?
Yeah.
Don't we love it when God shows up and his glory fills the room like it did in our worship, like it did in our prayer meeting earlier today? Don't we love that?
That's right.
And to enjoy him, not just in this moment as we're doing that, but forever. Don't we love that?
Amen.
So for me, I need there's a bigger question. Okay, well, why? If that's the reason, why? Why did you do that, Lord? Why did you want to make human beings? What was in your heart, Lord, when you made us? And the Bible says that God made us in his image, Genesis 1:27. He made us for friendship. And we enter into relationship with God in this life, and that relationship endures for all eternity. Thank God. What a future we have to look forward to. What a fantastic present. What an astonishing future that we've got to look forward to. When we no longer see in part, we no longer know in part, but we're in the presence of God, in the throne room of God. But of course, Jesus said, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven now. So that's part of God's purpose, is to release heaven on earth now. So we find our joy in him in this life, and that joy lasts for eternity. So the work of Jesus, since humanity turned its backs on God, is to restore that relationship and to bring us back into a place of friendship and connection with God. You know, God's purposes have never, ever changed. What you see in the Old Testament is true of the New Testament, is true of now. Deuteronomy 5:33, front end of the book, okay? This is what God says his purposes are. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord has commanded you. Why? That you may live and that it may be well with you. Do you want to live? Do you want abundant life? Do you want things to be well with you? Then what do you have to do? Walk in God's ways. It hasn't changed. Listen, it is so simple. It could not be simpler. It couldn't be simpler. God loves you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to pour out his blessings on your life. And all he says is, walk with me. That's the gospel, folks. Jesus made it possible, but that's it. Let's not make it more complicated than that. To walk in God's ways is to walk where God is. Not to walk on paths of our own choosing. Not to walk on our own. Not to walk with others who are walking away from God. But to walk where God is. And the Hebrew word for walk is halach. Why does that matter? Because from this word halach, we get the word for Jewish law. Halacha. Halacha is a Jewish law. Why does this matter? Because when we think of law, we think, uh-oh, a whole list of things we shouldn't do, a whole list of restrictions, a whole list of reasons why God should disqualify us. Now, we don't think that, but we might actually feel that in our guts. But listen to the heart of God. God says, walk with me, and I will show you how to walk with me, my people. I will give you the way to walk. So for God's Jewish people, this is halacha. This is, Andy, walk in it. Just walk with me in this. There are things I'm going to say to you that are best you don't do, okay? And there are things I'm going to say to you that are really best you do, because this is where I'm walking. And if we're going to walk together, walk with me in my way on the paths of my choosing, and you will live and you will have abundant life. That's the heart of the law. That's where God came from with the law. And when he talks about walking with us and walking with him, the law is just the way to walk. Let's not see it as anything heavier than that. I hope that's liberating, because I find that liberating. The word walk and the word for law are virtually the same, and that's deliberately so. So the path God's people should walk on if they're to walk with God are God's ways and God's paths. And this path is the journey of our entire lives. We walk with God. We're called to walk with God throughout our lives. That's his heart for humanity. It has never, ever changed. Jesus said, I am the way. Here we walk with him. The Bible tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's the same. The message hasn't changed. The method hasn't changed. The heart of God hasn't changed. Let's know him and let's walk with him, because that's where we get our authority. And that is why Jesus was furious with the religious leaders of the day, because it's not about a list of do's and don'ts, because I know the right way and you don't, and therefore you need me, and therefore I get power and control and authority over you. Jesus was furious about that. That was never what it was about. And listen, the heart of it that the Pharisees should have been doing and every Christian leader should be doing today is teaching each of us to walk with God for ourselves, not to do it for us, not to rely on leadership to do stuff, to do ritual, to decide how we're going to live our lives or to live our lives for us. It's impossible and it's undesirable. It's all about, Kurt, walk with the one who loves you. And how can we encourage one another to do that in our lives? That's all it's about. It's so simple and it's so beautiful, because God is a God of love and he says, just walk with me in intimacy with me. It's just beautiful. So God, right from the Bible, still on the big picture, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with Enoch. Loved him, took him. He walked with Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, all walked with God. Jesus walked with God. And when the disciples walked with Jesus, they were walking with God. And when you walk in the way, the truth and the life, Jesus, you are walking with God. And the picture of walking is about the journey of life. Listen, the Hebrew mindset, and this comes from a Hebrew mindset, is very different to the Greek mindset. It's not about a set of ideas. It's about practical, outworked living. It's all absolutely practical, authentic, and real. It's all about what you do, not what you think. It's all about that. So the law isn't a set of propositions which are impossible for us. The law of God is just God saying, this is my way. These are the things that are good for you. Walk in it. And Jesus, who came to fulfill that which was impossible for us, just says to me, says to us now, Janet, just walk with me. Mm. The Holy Spirit says, you just keep in step with me. Stay intimate with me. As you're intimate with me, as God said to Abraham, Genesis 17:1, walk in the light of my presence. Face to face, heart to heart with me. Just keep doing that. And as you do that, so I will cause you to become holy as I am holy. You can't do it yourself. Simple, so simple. So all the disciples walked with Jesus, who was God. And Jesus was also a rabbi. And there was a saying at the time. The followers of rabbis describe themselves as walking in the dust of the rabbi. And what that actually means is you walk through life with the rabbi. It's not just like sitting and getting a bunch of teaching. We walk in life together. We live out life together. We learn together. And this notion of walking in the dust of the rabbi is that you walk so close to your teacher that his very dust from his sandals kicks up over you. Not particularly pleasant, right? But actually what he's got and where he's been rubs off on you. That's the picture that's coming up here. So when Jesus says, you know, take my yoke, never mind of these Pharisees, you take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the picture. It's an arm around your shoulder. It's not yoke, oxen yoked together. That's part of the picture. But the heart of the Lord is, come on, let's walk together. Let's walk together in intimacy. Let's journey through life together in intimacy. And because all authority comes from the King of Kings, when we walk together in intimacy with the King of Kings, we walk in his authority and we reign in life as we exercise his authority. It's extremely simple. So God's purpose for us today is exactly the same, that we should reflect his character and enjoy his company and live for his glory now and for all eternity. Amen. Micah 6:8, that beautiful, beautiful, simple verse sums up the whole meaning of life and our approach. It says, what does God require of you, mere mortal? You're mere mortal, Frank. You're mere mortal, Barbara. We're all mere mortals. So what does God, Almighty God, require of a mere mortal? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God is love. So what does it mean to act justly? It means to put right what we see is wrong. To not draw back from it, but to choose to put right what we see is wrong. That's the exercising of godly authority. And what motivates us is love. To love mercy, which means to offer forgiveness and to refuse to take offense, to absolutely refuse to take offense. Why do we do that? Because we're motivated by love. And what keeps us walking close to God is the recognition that we are mere mortals, that we see in part, we know in part, we understand in part. That our lives are accountable to the living God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're accountable to him. We'll stand before him. So the humility to do that is humility and accountability and intimacy. So bringing it close to land now, what does delegated authority look like? Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's unpack this. So this is from the Amplified now. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed. And I imagine he said it like that because he's speaking from fresh revelation. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, theologians are divided about what that means. I understand it to mean that on the rock of the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he is the Son of the living God, on this great aha moment that Simon has, he's no longer Simon but Peter the rock. And on that revelation, God builds his church. All authority comes from the revelation of the living word of God in our lives. And our first calling in our lives is to exercise self-control. Yeah, that's right. Our first calling is that as God speaks to us, speaks to our heart, and reveals the condition of our heart, and in humility we hear him, that we exercise that self-control, which comes from the Holy Spirit. And from controlling yourself, you begin to reign in life. So Jesus continues, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, death itself, will not overpower it. Rather, the church will open the very gates of death and release its captives. That's his calling on us. That's what it means to reign in life. Now, if you're going to open locked gates, what do you need? You need a key. So Jesus continues, I will give you the keys, that's authority, of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, whatever you forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, will have already been loosed in heaven. Now, this is slightly complicated language for us to stand because God is out of time and we're in time. So I understand it to mean this. The revelation comes from seeing things God's way. He just shows us and we get an aha moment where we go, oh, that is amazing. And we receive the revelation, whatever it is. We're all walking in revelation in this room. God's given us so much revelation over the years. We've had so many aha moments when there's been a rise of faith inside that says, fantastic. What do we do next? Well, we receive it by faith. Then we agree with God's perspective. We then exercise authority as we act in obedience to God's prompting. How do we do that? By declaring, releasing, and outworking, living out, walking out God's living word to us, putting it into practice. It's all about putting it into practice. And the principle of agreement here is seen in Matthew 18, 18 to 19. Truly, I tell you, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by them, for them, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So do we see that authority flows from you and I, you and me agreeing with the living God, and then the church agreeing with one another. So the revelation we receive, there needs to be an amen in the room. There needs to be an amen when we come together, because in that is great power and in that is great authority. That's where it begins, with a declaration of revelation, the agreement of revelation, and then the working out, the walking out of that understanding, that revelation with God. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is this clear? Mm-hmm. That's how it works. So it comes back to walking with God again. And to walk together, you have to be in agreement. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they're in agreement? So to walk with God is to seek to live in agreement and harmony with him so that we can become like him in this world and so that this world can become like him. The Hebrew word for walk is yalach. And it means a life of ongoing, faithful companionship with God. It means living in his presence. And then, through love and obedience, to continually align our character and our actions and the directions of our lives with his will. So our authority comes from intimacy with God and from walking in humility, friendship, and obedience with him throughout the journey of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Really good. Let's pray actually on this point. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, thank you for what Andrew just shared and whatever it was that to all of us stood out or was an, oh yeah, aha moment or a light bulb moment. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't lose that, but we would keep hold of that. We would process that through and that would make a difference in our lives. Lord, let us never just come, be inspired and leave, but let what we just heard and received from your word, let that be at work in us. Lord, would you remind us, would you help us to remind ourselves, to process that, to ask that question again, to ask the why, to ask the how, and to live this out. And Lord, I thank you for your heart, that you always draw us into ever closer union with you. That's your heart. Amen. And when you say remain in me, you're like, oh, come closer and stay Amen. In that and then come even closer. And then John 15, then it says, as you remain in me, or as you go on walking with me intimately, if we want to merge that language, you will be abundantly fruitful. But Lord, I also thank you that in that walk and that union, you start chipping away some things. You start doing things in our lives that, you know, a gardener or wine dresser would do with plants. You know, you chip them back, like Saren said earlier, with herbs or with vines, in order to make them more fruitful. So, Father, on that journey, that's not always just on the clouds. That is sometimes not so easy. But Lord, we just ask you for your grace to embrace your pruning, to embrace what you are doing to make us more fruitful. Because that is your heart. And so also by faith, we thank you for more fruitfulness. And I thank you for everyone in this room, everyone who's listening. Lord, make us more fruitful. Make us more effective. Take away the distractions and the things that take our capacity and our energy in life, but actually they're not doing anything. So Lord, we just surrender. That's the place that we want to be in. We surrender, Lord. Amen. Amen. You're still there? You're still awake? Now, I will just add a few more minutes, but before we do, there is a set of weights there. Andrew used the word exercise. I need a helper over in that area. You don't have to bring them. Yeah, JD's going to do 5 kilogram. I've got a set there. Yeah.
Come on, mighty man.
Come on, can we do some exercise?
Sarah?
Sarah can have one. Who would like the other one?
Yeah.
Do you want one, Andy? Sandy, you do some exercise. What are the different exercises you can do?
I normally use 20
kilos. 20. Oh, this is 50 kilos. This is three. This is three. What are different exercises? That's called curls. Arm curls. Yeah. See, he's got 5. He's, you know. Do that. What's Saren doing? Oh yeah. Oh, Zander's doing another one. That's shoulders.
Come on, Frank.
There you go, Frank. Look, with your sunglasses, Frank. You're a bit too cool for this room right now. Should take a picture, put some music on. What other exercises are there? Zander did that. What is that? Shoulders?
Yeah.
What would you say? Anything else?
Rotator cuff.
Oof, that's a bit... Oh, what's that doing?
No idea, but it looks good.
So you're offering drinks to people. Yeah. Left, right. I guess that's your back, probably. That's shoulder. It's your arm. I mean, where does it hurt? That's probably the question. Oh, that's good. That's probably your shoulder too, your arm. All of the... Yeah, the forearm. You know, on your feet. Any creative exercises, Saren? Praise the Lord with the weights. Really, really good. Well, keep that in mind. Here's a scripture. Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Yeah? Doing some weights, doing some exercises. Now, the interesting thing, Zander, can you do the shoulder thing again? Lift it up. Now, how many muscles do you think he has to exercise right now? Don't know. You're in pain.
How many is
that?
No, that's
12. Okay, we've got 2. Biceps, triceps. I guess it's 12.
Traps.
Do you know what? I don't actually know the answer because Google didn't tell me. But what I do know, so his shoulder has 3 main parts. Right? Bless you, darling. So there's a front, there's a back. Then if, as you lift it, pushing is always this one. It's the triceps. And as you lift it down, that's the biceps. Anything else from the medical section over there? No, it's probably other things, stabilizing, balance, chest. Oh yeah, here, whatever that's called. That one.
Trapeze.
Trapeze. Oh, that's complicated. Any more Latin words? And I was thinking about this during the week, in terms of when we, in our walk with God, He always works on more than one muscle, right? So you have the muscle of I was thinking of this. Hope this makes sense. Union with God, the walking with Him. That's maybe this one. But then you have also the muscle of prayer, which is communion with Him. But it's also worship. But when you spend time with God and He is love, you become more loving. Or sometimes that's challenging. That's a bit of, oh, to work on to love people today. You know, but you spend time with Him and you practice it. And actually you work with this muscle. So if you think of the picture of Zander lifting his arm and all those different muscles, God always attacks all the different ones. And just little thing for free, if you lift your arm that way, Saren, yeah, in front of you, it exercises more the front of your shoulder than if you do sideways. Yeah, and then up, up, up. Yeah, oh, well done, Saren. That's a little bit of a shoulder. And then we won't do that to you. But if you did lean forward, health and safety, don't do that. and did it like that. Still your shoulder, but oh, thank you, Angelica's nodding. Back of your shoulders. But God always, yeah, exactly. It's like you're flying. Yeah, exactly. And if you hold it long enough, you'll be in pain. So that's not what you want to do. But just keep that in mind as you walk. Sometimes some things we love to exercise. Maybe some of us love prayer. You're like, oh, you want to pray, but you don't really like reading. So the muscle of the word is like, oh, that's a bit weaker. And then when you lift the box, you're like, oh, I'm strong here, not strong there. Or maybe some of us are very academically minded and you love digging in. And I've just got a new app on my device that gives me lots of insights into words and commentaries. And I'm like, oh, new territory. But actually God is saying, okay, that's good. Strengthen that one. But then pray it, pray the word, right? It's all there. Yeah. Because actually every movement you do always requires all the different muscles. So here's some muscles. Muscle of faith. Because everything Andrew shared, unless we believe it, this is not going to profit us anything. Surprise, in case you thought it did. In Hebrews, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, whoever that is, Paul or Apollos or the writer of Hebrews says, oh, there was a group of people he talks about. He said the word didn't profit them. So it didn't do anything. Why? Because it didn't mix it with faith. So we have to hear what Andrew is saying and his heart, which is wonderful, and say, oh, I need to mix that with faith. I need to believe that. It's the same talking about authority. I need to believe I'm a child of God. I need to believe that he is Lord over all. Otherwise, it's not going to do anything, right? So you've got the muscle of faith. Let's say that's this one. What's that called? Any? Keeping you engaged. Well, we've got too many options. There's only one of them. That's the biceps. Yeah. So you pull. So let's say that's faith. And then that's, you know, triceps. That's the push. But you need both, right? Okay, so we've got muscles of faith in the truth. Then the muscles of love, loving one another. Maybe you remember when Eric Custer was here and we had a bit of a chat with him after a few of us. And he said, you know, guys, something God wants to really do among you is exercise that muscle of love. And I know we're all doing this, right? But loving people when they're uncomfortable, when they're difficult. But it's actually exercising godly muscles. Muscles of union with God, muscles of prayer and worship. And so just think of that idea of exercising. But also, what happens if you just exercise once and then you don't do it for 2 weeks? Any clever answers? You pulled your muscle, right? You overdid it a little bit.
For a long time.
So if you do it once and then 2 weeks later, then it goes down, right? That's how it goes.
You need to do it regularly.
And then you need to bring it up again. So I probably shouldn't get off track here. I remember this from my days at school, right? There's this thing called super compensation. So you exercise, so you work out your muscles, you actually use them. That's the first thing, we need to use them physically and spiritually. Use our muscles, and then they hurt a bit and then they get tired, but that's where they build new strength. So basically it's like they regroup and say, right, if this happens again, I need to be stronger. I need to be a bit bigger. And this is why Kurt's doing this every day and looks big next week. Because every time you do it, you kind of destroy some, in a good way, some of the tissue. And then your muscles are like, we need to get ready and built up. So they start, you know, taking the protein out of your food. Anyways, let's move on. I'm getting too excited. What happens, you get stronger as you do it. Not just once, it goes down. No, you do it again. If you do it once, it goes down again. You haven't really gained anything other than a pulled muscle, Vicky. Yes. Sorry about that. We do pray for you then. But if you do it once and then it goes down a bit, recover, and then they get stronger, you do it again. And then get stronger. So the idea is over time, if you do it every 2-3 days, personal trainer tip, and then you build your muscles, you get stronger. So the same in the spirit, muscles of faith, muscles of love, muscles of union, prayer, worship. The first time you do it might be uncomfortable. Second time, hopefully gets better. The more you do it, then it becomes second nature. And then lifting heavy items, is just, you just lift it. You don't have to think about it, right? So 1 Timothy says, have nothing to do with irrelevant and silly things, silly myths, Paul says. So there's obviously things that could get our attention that don't need to. But he says, rather train yourself for godliness. So sometimes we think, oh yeah, we just cruise along. But actually in that walk, I don't know if anyone has seen the movie Karate Kid. Yeah? Yeah. I've only seen the new one, the other one. I don't know. But there's this scene, right, where the trainer, so think of the Holy Spirit as your trainer, says, you know, the kid's there and his jacket's on the floor. Pick up the jacket, put it on, put it down again. He's like, oh, when are we getting at, get to the big stuff? And he's like, pick up the jacket, wash the car. That was the movement, right? Excellent. Yeah, Axel. And he's like, what are we doing? What are we getting onto? And then later when someone attacks him, he realizes, Oh, I just offended myself and I didn't realize. Oh, I had to pick that up. I did it. Yeah, all of the people, you know that, Sander. Come on, you need to watch it if you haven't seen it. But the point is that it's sometimes we think, oh, God will use me in a holy moment or something. I don't know if you think that. I used to think that. But he wants to walk with you, like Anna said, every moment of the day. So if it's picking up that jacket. And I mean, actually, literally, physically, I'm sometimes walking through my house and thinking, oh, actually, I want to honor God. This is not a moment of conviction for some, maybe. I'm not saying that to you, sir. It's like, actually, I to honor the Lord in my home where no one sees, I want to put that jacket up. I need to put that there. Not because I'm, whatever, overly tidy. I'm tidy. But it's like the
socks.
Exactly. It's those socks that don't fit. No, but God, I want to honor you, right? All of those things. And it's the secret place. It's a secret place that matters because then you can be trusted in public. And when we come to authority and all that, what God wants is that in that walk, he can say, okay, let me stretch you a bit. Can I trust you? Over the years, I've had many years on the thing, but over my years, God keeps saying sometimes that, oh, can I trust you with that? And it's a funny question because you want to be like, yeah, of course. But then you think, oh, why are you asking this? And it's like, is your character able to carry? Yeah. Is your character able to carry what it's going to do? Because grace, the anointing, his spirit is like, it's a gift, right? Here's a gift. Here's a vision. Here's a picture, Frank. You've got to lay hands, be healed. But the thing that's more difficult, which God works as we walk with him, is our character, is that self-control. I love that you mentioned that. Because to have authority, I first need to have authority here. And sometimes that, you know, that's not so easy. But then God wants to train us in this. Okay, come on, pick up that jacket. Okay, it didn't work. Right, let's do it again. So you don't have to answer this out loud, but to think about maybe after tonight, how is your faith exercise training going? But hear it not as a, oof, I'm not doing that, but as a, right, what can I exercise? And I know if I exercise that every other day or every day, it's going to grow. Even if you do one or two curls, as long as you do them regularly, they're going to grow. So I just want to come back to what you said, Andrew, with Romans 5. We're called to reign in life, right? And Andrea shared that a bit last time. There was a scripture that stood out to me a few weeks ago when we were reading through the reading plan. Because on that walk, we have someone who's trying to knock us off, irritate us, poke us, throw things at us to get us not just distracted, but take us out. Are you exercising, sir? Good. You'll be stronger afterwards. Good posture, though. Keep the posture. No, it's good. So in 1 Peter, Peter writes, be sober-minded, be clear in thought, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Rawr. And he is what? He's seeking someone to devour. So on that walk where we enjoy union with God, that we don't want to overly focus on it, there's a reality of someone throwing some stones, someone roaring. And when a lion roars, that's often how they hunt. They roar to scare them. And then the animal, the prey, scared, freezes, gets paralyzed, and it's easy prey. Especially those that are taken off the herd, off the group. So let's not give up meeting together. Little hint from Hebrews. But it says, so Peter says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And sometimes that's little things, isn't it? Maybe you have a conversation at home or at work. It's like, oh, it just irritates me. And it can start getting you off course, or you hold a grudge, or there's bitterness. So the enemy is not going to be like, bro, I'm here, let's do something bad, because you wouldn't fall for that. But it might be the little things, you know, he's throwing in to undermine your union, your intimacy, your whatever. It may be the movies or the books or whatever it is that you know, it's on the edge, right? So what the enemy is trying to do is, it's fine, don't worry about it. What the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, come on, put it away. We want to have that pure union with God. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But the next verse is the bit that I really, that was my aha. It says, resist him. Two words, resist him, firm in your faith. So we need to say no sometimes. Do you have that word in your vocabulary? No. Can you say it?
No.
That was too nice. Say it to a lion, like, no.
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 No. No.
Yes, there's a roar. When the lion roars, roar back, right? So out of that walk of intimacy, because, you know, if we ask anything according to his will, so again, there's the intimacy, our Father goes into action. So we want to have that walk. And then in that walk, we need to rise up then and say, no, that's not right. I'm not having that. So I I'm jumping to my end now, but it fits. I came up with this thing, and I'm just going to read it, and maybe we say it together. I don't know yet. But so I was reading it, and something in me rose up. Do you have that when you read the Bible? Yes. Sometimes something's... Because it said, resist him. So I wrote this little paragraph. I resist and we refuse. So we had this at the house a few days now. I resist and refuse where the enemy is trying to attack my family. Yes. Right? So I know that's not a psalm or something. I understand that. But it's truth and it's me rising up. I give you the scripture, though, in case you're doubting. Jesus says, John 10:10, the thief comes to do what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah, steal, kill, and destroy. That's all very negative. What does Jesus do instead?
Life.
That was quick. Ooh, eternal life, abundant life. I don't know the Greek word, but it's life, full of life. Zoe.
Oh, that's a Shekinah.
No, that's glory. But he brings glory as he does that, right? And then I love this one. I don't know if any of you have stumbled over it. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God came was to... Yes, Pastor Jonathan said it. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy or of the devil. And I'm like, oh, it's nicely worded. Is that also in other translations? I looked it up. It's literally in other translations. So it must be what it says, that he appeared to destroy the devil's work, right? But then think of yourself when you're like, I resist and refuse out of that union with your authority, under his authority, because he's like, come on, child, take, you know, reign in life. So I'm going to say no. So the enemy comes to throw some, I don't know, whatever he throws at you, I don't know. But you can say to yourself then, I have appeared, I have come to destroy the works of the enemy. I can say no, and I'm going to say no. So let me go back to my, I resist and refuse. So I resist and refuse where the enemy is trying to attack my family. You can do that in the morning in front of the mirror. With the authority God has given me, I now resist the enemy. That almost rhymes. Where he comes to steal, I say no. Where he seeks to destroy, I refuse.
Amen.
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 Where he tries to bring death, whatever way, I say life instead. And then I guess, I don't know if you find this, but as you then pray things, something else comes to mind, right? Another scripture or another truth. Because what happens, you start rising up. Out of that intimacy, you start rising up in faith. So I wrote this. It might seem impossible in the natural. And I got super excited and I probably stood up and walked around the room. It might seem impossible in the natural, but nothing is impossible with God.
Amen. Amen.
It might seem impossible in the natural, but... nothing is impossible with God. And the more I'm in that union, the more I'm like overwhelmed with him rather than stuff, right?
Amen.
Pastor Jane brought us a while ago. The more I'm overwhelmed with him, then other things don't seem to attach themselves so much. So, you know, I'm human as you are. So I'm doing this and going back and, oh God, I just see you. And then I'm going to life and I'm like, wait, overwhelmed, come back. But the important thing is to come back to say, God, you are Lord. You are King. You're my provider. And as you do that, you rise up. And it might seem impossible in the natural, but nothing is impossible with God. And you can say it as many times as you need to. I just want to share this one thing from Luke 10. Jesus, you know, he's just sent out 12 in the chapter before, and then it says 72 others. So there was obviously other people that he sent out. And, you know, he gave them things to do. They came back and they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Not that Jesus was surprised, but they seemed surprised. That was really cool. But then he said to, and I love this line, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I was like, he just said it. He was probably super cool. He wore those sunglasses, Frank. He had those weights. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Like, authority, right? Like, I saw that happening. My father did that. He went down. Like, this is authority. This is power. And obviously then he says, you know, but remember, your name's in the book of life. That's the thing you need to focus on. But then he says, and this is true for us too. Behold, I have given you authority. So he actually, this is not to the 12. He sent the 12 out, chapter 9. He sent 72 others out, the word says. So it's very inclusive, right? This is not for a special elite. This is for all his disciples, followers. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you.
Amen.
And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, okay, I understand that. stuff still happens. But don't think of it like, oh, is it true, is it not? It is true because Jesus said it. Think of it as exercising muscle. So I need to exercise authority.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? I like how Andy, you said earlier, I need to exercise it more. I feel like we all need to do it more, like just because, you know, it's good to do, but also that's how we walk on that path and do it together, stand with one another. So the word authority, I'm going to read the definition from people that are cleverer than me. In the New Testament, it's called exousia, or something like that, meaning rightful, actual, and unimpeded power to act, possess, or control, use or dispose of something or someone. So it's, I have the right to say something here. Like you said, keys of the kingdom. Oh, my keys are gone.
Behind you.
That's the right and access to my car. Don't steal it. That's not right. And actually, the enemy is trying to has nicked control in the garden, right? Jesus won it back. He's got the keys. And then he said, I give you the keys. So you can now say, no, do that. You can say, yeah, you can open it. Say, oh, Vicky, you're welcome in. Or goodness is coming in. You'll say, no, I'm not having that. Thank you very much.
No.
Given authority. This is the thing, authority over all the power of the evil one. Now, the word power is dunamis. That's strength. Mm-hmm. That's like a wild horse. That's Kurt doing his curls. Kurt doing his curls. That's strength. But now, you like that, right? Now, that's on, in terms of the walk, that strength needs to be submitted. Because if you're super strong but out of control, that's dangerous. Not someone out there. It needs to be submitted. It needs to be right. That's what God wants to do. But where the enemy is out of control, doing funny stuff, raving havoc, we Jesus says, you've given you authority over his power. So he says, I've given you authority over all the power. So whatever the enemy throws at us, I can say no. Not because I'm good or cool or where I'm from or my family line in the natural, because I'm connected to the Father. So I want to enthuse and encourage us this week to rise up, say no. Where we need to. The word power then is that force of the Holy Spirit that comes through us. It can be translated as strength, ability, power, all those different things. But the point is we need to exercise it. So I read the scriptures I've already read, and then maybe we can do the I resist and refuse together. Mm. Is that all right? So to remind us, 1 Timothy, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths, just stuff. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Then 1 Peter was, be sober-minded, be watchful. So out of the intimacy, you know, take heed. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. And it goes on to say other things. So what about I say like half a sentence and you repeat it? But I resist and refuse, right? And Lord, we just do this by faith for our families, and I pray that as we do it, you inspire everyone in this room to find their own ways of saying it.
We should stand up,
don't we? Should we stand? Cool. So, you've got those keys. We're exercising some of our muscles.
No, they're back in your pocket.
Do you want to hold them?
So
no.
You've got the keys to the kingdom as well.
Here are the keys.
Amen.
Jesus has given us authority. He's given you authority.
Amen.
Right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
So I resist and refuse.
I resist and refuse.
Where the enemy is trying to attack my family.
Where the enemy is trying to attack my family.
With the authority God has given me.
With the authority God has given me.
I now resist the enemy.
I now resist the enemy.
Where he comes to steal,
where he comes to steal,
I say no.
I say no.
Where he seeks to destroy,
where he seeks to destroy,
I refuse.
I refuse.
Where he tries to bring death,
where he tries to bring death,
I say life.
I say life.
Amen.
Amen.
It might seem impossible with man.
It might seem impossible with man.
But nothing impossible with God. Yes, friend.
Nothing.
Actually, it continues. I didn't read this bit.
Sorry.
Dry bones live.
Dry bones live.
Waters part.
Waters part.
What is dead, come to life.
What is dead, come to life.
My God is greater.
My God is greater.
Amen. You can shout, clap, whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.